Hello, this is Rico Cavaglia, America's anti-growing old trainer. And this is Real Wellness, Real Fast. Everything you need to know to develop a complete mind, body, and spiritual wellness program that will enable you to live a much longer, healthier, more enjoyable, productive life. Hello, this is Rico Cavaglia, America's anti-growing old trainer and creator of the Ageless Living Lifestyle, and I want to welcome you to Thrive Talk Radio. Our show is called Real Wellness, Real Fast, where we offer all kind of ways that you can actually really create real wellness in your life. And I always like to start off by letting people know why the reason that I'm known as America's anti-growing old trainer, and that's because I actually teach anti-growing old strategies. I think there's a big difference really between aging and being old. We hear a lot about anti-aging these days, but I think that's really the wrong terminology, and we're sending a sort of a confusing message to our brain because you really can't stop aging. Aging is a natural process. And actually, the definition of aging is good. Aging means to become fully mature, to reach your full potential, like fine-aged wine. But old, on the other hand, is not so good. Old means to be worn out, used up, unexcited about your life, and unable to care for yourself. So I don't think anybody wants to be old. And really, old is just a state of your mind and a state of your body, and they are both choices. So our show is always about how to create a high level of wellness and to never be old. And today, I'm really excited about our show today. It's called Yoga in the Mind, or The Real Yoga. And first of all, I'm excited because the practice of yoga is one of the very best ways to create wellness and to never be old. But mostly I'm real excited because we have a really great guest today. Her name is Michelle Hébert, and she's a master yoga teacher, and she's my teacher and a really good friend of mine. Michelle, she blends her background in yoga, fitness, meditation, nutrition, and healing to guide others in achieving higher levels of health and spiritual awareness. She's a senior teacher in the Walt Baptiste method of Raja Yoga. Her work has been a transformative factor in the lives of thousands over a 30-year period. She continues her spiritual studies with Swami Veda Bharati in Rishikesh, India, and was initiated into Tibetan Buddhism by the Dalai Lama. Michelle teaches an introduction to meditation at UC San Diego, and she is the author of the multi-award-winning memoir, The Tenth Door, An Adventure Through the Jungles of Enlightenment. Welcome, Michelle.
Thank you so much. It's really a pleasure to be here, Rico.
Well, it's really a pleasure to have you here, and it's really going to be a lot of fun. So what I'd like to do is, you know, you have a really interesting story and a really interesting life, so why don't we begin by just telling us a little bit about your journey and adventures in yoga?
Well, I'd have to go back to the 1970s where I escaped from Cleveland at an early age and found myself in San Francisco. And I decided that I would try a yoga class. As long as I was in San Francisco, it seemed like the thing to do. And I stumbled upon a yoga center in San Francisco that was run by a man named Walt Baptiste. Now, at that time, there wasn't a lot of yoga. In fact, I think there was only two yoga centers in all of San Francisco, and the Baptiste, he and his wife, had opened the first yoga center. But the unusual thing about his work and his teachings, which I know that you appreciate, is that he was, in addition to being a great teacher of yoga and meditation, he was a former Mr. America. And he was one of the fathers of bodybuilding in the United States. And he believed that ideally, as human beings, we need to balance all aspects of ourselves, physically, mentally, emotionally. And then out of that comes transformation and spiritual growth.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so I really, from the very beginning, I worked with him and for him for 14 years and always used the gym. Very important to keep the physical body strong. He used to say that the two most important forms of exercise were weight training and yoga, because as far as the postures go, one of them lengthens the muscles and the other one strengthens the muscles, and the two are just together are fantastic.
I totally agree with that, yeah.
Yeah, so at any rate, I had a very well-rounded training, and after 2 years at the Baptiste Center, he and his wife bought some property in El Salvador and decided to build a retreat, a yoga and health retreat, on the ocean, on the shores in El Salvador. And through a series of very sort of strange events, I ended up there for 4 years. And I was managing the retreat, and most of my time there, because it was just being built, was in solitude. And he would give me different tests to do. So he would say, and he would go away for 3 months at a time and then come back for a month. So the first time before he left, for the first time, and left me alone there, and if you can imagine a 28-year-old woman fresh out of Cleveland alone on a remote beach retreat in Central America, no Spanish, no telephone, no internet, no cell phone. This is in the 70s. Sometimes electricity, in charge of 25 machete-carrying workers who were building the retreat. So it was quite a stretch for me, but at the same time, I was so inspired by everything I was learning from him that I really wanted to do it. And so I had a lot of time to do some of the practices that I'm going to be talking about in a little bit. But one of the main tests that he gave me was, before he left, he gave me a sheet of paper, and on the paper were 10 yoga poses, and he asked me to learn how to hold each one for 1 hour.
Wow.
And then he went back to San Francisco, and I had 3 months to accomplish that task. Well, I certainly didn't do it all, because that would have been very, very challenging. As it was, I was working 6 to 8 hours a day trying to, you know, increase that through the poses. But what I learned from that was that it's not the physical body. It's the physical body will get stronger. So if you say take the bridge pose, and that's where you're lying on your back and your knees are bent and you lift your hips up to the sky. And that's also a stretch that's oftentimes done for back people with back issues. But what I learned was the body will strengthen, but the thing that you really have to deal with is the mind. And you're face-to-face with your own mind and seeing how the mind works and how we have these great intentions to do something, and then we sabotage ourselves. We say, oh, this isn't that important, or procrastinate and I'll put it off later. And in doing that, in allowing the mind to sort of, be in charge of us, we need to learn how to be in charge of our own mind. And that is what I learned through those practices. And I also learned to be able to get hold of the mind when I start to procrastinate or think this isn't so important after all. And so keeping an eye on the mind is a very important aspect of yoga. And learning to break through some of our mental conditioning to higher levels of thinking so that we can really achieve our optimal potential. And that's really what yoga is about. It's not about physical postures. It's about learning to achieve our optimal potential in whatever we want to do with our lives.
And that comes from our mind. Yeah, so really what you're saying, exactly what you just said, is that the real benefit, I mean, you get benefit from doing the physical exercises, no question. It strengthens your body. But really what it's about is to strengthen your mind and get control of your mind, because that really is what's controlling everything that's really going on in our lives.
Absolutely. And, you know, just to give you a practical example, stress. Now, everybody knows what stress is. I don't have to define stress. But did you ever stop to think that what creates stress for you may not create stress for me? For example, I'm walking down the street with a friend, and a strange dog comes running up. I have a dog at home. My attitude is, oh, here comes a nice dog. I see the tail wagging. My friend had a very bad incident with a dog when she was young. She sees the dog coming and completely freaks out. So it's not, stress is really not the outside what we call the stressor, but it's how we react to it. And we react to it based on our early conditioning.
Yes.
So studies have been done to show that we absorb, even before we're able to talk, we absorb into ourselves our stress reactions from our parents, and it wires into our nervous system, and we replay it throughout our lives. So part of what yoga is doing, this kind of this philosophy of getting hold of the mind, is that we're trying to peel off these layers of conditioning, really. It's conditioning, so that we can really be our authentic self. And
yeah.
It's a process, and it's a lifelong process, but, you know, it's like, what's the alternative? To just keep blindly going the way that we're going. But if for people who want transformation and growth, learning about the mind is so important.
Absolutely. I also want to mention, if there's any of our listeners would like to call in, have any questions for Michelle, the call-in number is 914-338-1255. So, Michelle, continue. You're on a roll. You're sounding really great. Sounds great.
So I always knew I had to write a book about these early experiences, especially the part about El Salvador, where I was in very, really intense training. And I put it off. There we go, procrastination. I put it off for 14 years. But during that period, I kept a journal every single night. So from the time I met Walt Baptiste and started studying his teachings and practicing yoga and meditation and weightlifting, I kept journals for 10 years. So those journals, when I found them later on, I was able to see and remember a lot of exact incidences that occurred and conversations that occurred because I had written them all down. And I was able to write a book based on those journals and my own memories and, of course, my own what I've learned over these years. And the book just sort of had a life of its own, The Tenth Door. It won 5 national awards, and it won the San Diego Book Award for Spirituality in 2011. So it's a really good book. My editor actually has been on Oprah 3 times, and she was very helpful in writing the book. And so throughout the book, it's not just a story, but also it's teaching a lot of these principles that help us move forward in our lives. So I have a story, and you have a story, and we all have stories about where we've been and what we've learned. And I'm just really grateful that I was able to put these down on paper, and I get a lot of tremendous feedback about the book. So if anybody wants, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, yeah, it's really a great read. It's a great book. You really get a lot of benefit out of reading. And the other thing I was just going to mention was a really good tip for people is, as you mentioned, how you did your journaling, which, you know, journaling is so helpful for you in so many ways. But also, because you had those journals, you were able to write your book. So that's a really important thing to keep in mind. You know, journaling is so helpful.
It is so helpful.
It may help you to write a book someday, right?
Yeah, it may help you to write a book, but what I found that it did is it helped me work out a lot of things.
Yeah.
It helped me really, you know, things I was going through emotionally at the time, things, and for anybody, things, questions that you have about incidents during the day. There's something magic about putting these thoughts on paper, and very helpful in reflection. Because an important part of transformation and growth is that we take the time to stop and reflect where we are in our lives and what our goal is. What is our life purpose? You know, those kinds of big thoughts. And they may seem like really big thoughts, but if you really sit down and just lean back and close your eyes and start to really reflect on these things, they can have a huge impact on what the next step in your life will be.
You know, what comes to my mind when you say that is that's exactly right. I mean, that's really a key to creating wellness in your life too, because, you know, wellness encompasses everything that's going on in your life. And I think that the reason that's why so many people have a hard time, you know, sticking with a really healthy eating program or exercise program is because they really haven't, they're not really clear on their life purpose and what their spiritual journey is here. So when, as you're talking about, so as you become clear on that, it just helps you to live your life in all aspects of your life.
Yes, and it's much more helpful to have a mentor or a guide when you want to change something in your life, to have somebody that you can talk to that will point you in the right direction, that will check up on your promises to yourself. So those kinds of, I think it's really important. So what you're doing in helping people with you know, your ageless living kind of a thing is really essential for people. It's really hard to change habits. Do you know how many thoughts that you think in a day?
It is something like 60,000?
Yeah. People are surprised, but it is about 60 to 90,000 thoughts in a day, and 90% of those thoughts you thought yesterday.
Same. We're taking the same thing over and over
the
again.
The same thing over and over. That chattering mind, it's their habits of thinking. And those habits of thinking are creating our lives. So how do we change those habits of thinking? And some of the habits may be great. They brought good things to us in our life. But a lot of them are not. It's like a garden, and you've got these beautiful flowers, but you've got to weed the garden. Otherwise, the weeds will choke out the flowers.
Yeah, I think it's it's also said that the majority of our thoughts are actually negative. You know, I think we spend too much time focusing on what we don't want in our life instead of what we do want in our life. Yeah.
Yeah, and the beautiful thing is that we can change that because we can change our mind and we can change our thoughts.
Yes.
And so, in learning to get hold of the mind, there is a very simple technique that is so simple people are surprised. And it's based on a meditation technique, an ancient meditation technique, and there's three parts of it. And the first and probably one of the most important parts is, and this only takes 2 minutes, and if you can do it a couple times during the day, then you start really changing things. But you stop and you relax your forehead. Now, doesn't that sound like a strange thing for me to say?
Well, that's where stress is held, right? Our stress points are right in our forehead there, I think.
Yes, and when you relax your forehead, there's parts of your brain that also relax. So you stop and you take a moment. You can't be in a state of anxiety and a state of a relaxed forehead at the same time. So if you stop, bring your attention to your forehead, and then really, not just a superficial little, but really stop and try to relax the forehead as much as you can so that you get the feeling that your forehead is absolutely serene. And then, if you can, of course, if you're driving, you don't want to do this, but if you can, you close your eyes, and then the next thing is to focus on very calm nostril breathing. So you visualize two streams of breath flowing evenly into the nostrils and two streams of breath flowing out evenly. So you've got your relaxed forehead and you've got this very calm, slow nostril breath. Okay, and you do that for just about a minute, and then you add one other thing, and the other thing you add is a word that's going to make you feel peaceful, and I like to call it a sacred word. So you have a word that's sacred to you. It could be peace. It could be joy, it could be love, but a word that's sacred to you. And then you repeat that word. So in your mind, you've got your relaxed forehead, you've got the even and equal breathing, and then you repeat with your mind, so not with your tongue, But with your mind, you repeat that word. Okay, so we'll just take 15 seconds to do that. So you repeat it as you breathe in. You repeat it as you breathe out.
Michelle, I had to catch myself. I was getting too relaxed that I was thinking I almost forgot I'm here on a radio show.
You know, so the words, good. I actually use three words, and these were taught to me by my teacher. Very simple English words: peace, harmony, well-being.
Yes, I use those too because you taught me those, yes.
Yeah, peace, harmony, well-being. You cannot be in a state, physiologically, it's impossible to be in a state of anxiety, fear, stress, and peace, harmony, well-being at the same time. So
yeah.
By choosing those words, you are choosing the direction that you want your mind and body to go. So those words have an effect on every cell. And I'll repeat them again, peace, harmony, well-being. So if you do those three things, relax the forehead, calm, centered breathing for 2 or 3 minutes, and then repeat the word. You can do it while you're doing the breathing. You're going to move into a completely different state, and you're going to be able to reprogram your mind. So you're selecting the thoughts that you want your mind to think.
I have a question for you.
Sure.
The first part, to me, seems like the most difficult. Do you have any techniques for, I mean, how can you actually know or that you're relaxing your forehead?
How do you know that you're relaxing your forehead? Well, I would say, you know, on a practical level, go to the mirror. You know, for people who haven't ever thought about this before, go to the mirror and watch yourself relax your forehead. You know, and then if with your eyes closed, you can sort of feel it. If you scrunch your forehead up and then you relax it, and you'll recognize the difference between relaxed and tense. I think the scrunching and releasing would be a good way of really connecting with that part.
Okay. Maybe you could just do a little tap into, like a little tapping on your forehead. That might be helpful.
At first, yeah, you could do that. You could give that a try and see if it helps. Sure.
Good. That was great. Okay. Again, if anybody has any questions for Michelle, you can call in at 914-338-1255. So, Michelle, why don't you tell us a little bit about, I know you've been doing studying a lot of the latest research on meditation and all the benefits of that.
Right. Well, there's a wonderful book. I'm going to plug somebody else's book, too. It's called The Emotional Life of the Brain. And the doctor who wrote it started meditating in the 70s himself when he was going to Harvard, and his interest was always in that area. And he ended up, in the late 80s, he did a research study with some of the Dalai Lama's Tibetan monks, and he found that there was actually, when they meditated, there was a different part of their brain. Now, I don't know if your listeners or you are familiar with the term neuroplasticity, but neuroplasticity, it used to be thought that our brain, that we had a certain number of brain cells by the time we were an adult, that didn't change, and we could kill off brain cells, but they didn't regenerate. Well, now they found that that's absolutely not the case, and that our brain is constantly regenerating, and there are actually ways to promote that regeneration. And one of them is through meditation, one of the big ways of improving the synapses. The synapses are the connections in the brain they're actually in the nervous system where there's a signal from one nerve cell to another. So another way which is sort of fun, of increasing neuroplasticity is to do things differently than you normally do. So tonight when you go home from work, you go a different way. Or when you brush your teeth tonight, do it with your opposite hand. And those kinds of things change the workings of our brain, those simple things. And my dad used to be a flutist with the Cleveland Orchestra, and When he was 80, he gave up the flute, but instead of just sitting around, he started studying Spanish. He went to college, and he ended up working on his master's in Spanish. Scrabble, a great game for neuroplasticity. But meditation. And they found also that meditation does a number of different things. Depending on the kind of meditation, you can actually, people's compassionate connection to others increases because it affects a part of the brain that is connected with empathy. Isn't that amazing?
Wow, that's really exciting.
So because of its effect on the brain. Now, meditation also raises the IQ. It improves short-term and long-term memory. It improves the immune response. Now, they did a study with people who were given the flu vaccine, and they took people who had been doing an 8-week meditation course, and they took a group that weren't doing it. And they gave both of them flu shots, and they found that the people who had been meditating for 8 weeks, their immune response to the flu shot was significantly higher than the control group.
Yeah. That's really exciting, isn't it?
Uh-huh.
That's really exciting. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
And also it relieves anxiety and depression, which is a big one. You know, how many people aren't anxious in this society?
Yeah, I know. Anxiety and depression are one of the biggest, largest selling drugs. So people really need to get on into meditation and yoga. Well, tell us
about and exercise.
And exercise, yes,
mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
You know, the weight training, I have to throw this in there, but the studies that have been done on weight training show that it reverses all 10 biomarkers of aging.
Yes.
So they connected the biomarkers of aging at Duke University. They picked 10, and then they had people in their 70s using weights for twice a week for 6 weeks. And in that short of a time, every biomarker of aging reversed itself.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
So, yeah. So the combination is unbeatable. You know, the weight training, yoga, meditation, unbeatable.
I just want to say, we've only got about 2.5 minutes left. So can you give us a quick little ideas of how people can start to do a basic meditation?
And then
I want you to tell us what you're up to lately, what you're doing, and how people can find you and connect with you.
Great. Well, as far as meditation goes, you could start off with that very simple 3 points. The relaxed forehead, the even, calm breathing, and the sacred word. And also, for those of you living in San Diego, I teach a meditation course. You can contact me on my website about that. And also, I teach classes at a yoga center in La Jolla, and that I always include at least 10 minutes of meditation in my classes, as well as breathing, which that's a whole other subject that I'd like to sometime talk with you about, is the whole concept of breath and how that creates transformation. And I want to salute my teacher, Walt Baptiste. He's no longer alive, but he was just a genius and one of the greatest teachers of health and well-being that I could have ever hoped to have stumbled across. And people who read my book will learn a lot more about him and his philosophy. And my website is www.rajayogis.net. So that's RajayogiS.net. And I am going to be giving a couple of workshops. I like to work with people for, you know, 5 days to a week, so that I do a lot of retreats. And my husband and I do them together, and we have 2 upcoming ones at Esalen Institute in Big Sur. And we have one, a weekend one, and we have a 5-day one. And that information is on my website as well, Esalen Institute. And
but we only have 30 seconds left, so I just want to thank you. That was so good, so informative. And I want to remind people to go to agelesslivinglifestyle.com, and you can get your 4 free wellness training videos that I offer there. And
this program is a production of Thrive Talk Radio, a collaboration of leaders broadcasting together as catalysts for change. We are committed to supporting your highest well-being. through limitless possibility, vibrant health, conscious choices, and personal transformation. Our motto is Empowered Words, Empowered Lives. More on all of our varied programs at ThriveTalkRadio.com.